For years, a little-known law has allowed Green Mountain Power to have its rates regulated differently than any other electric company in Vermont. The company and regulators say the so-called alternative regulation benefits ratepayers, but the process lacks the transparency of traditional regulation, and it raises questions about why some costs are passed on to ratepayers. A case in point is the decision to make customers pay for the cost of staff bonuses given out after a big storm year. VPR's Taylor Dobbs has more.
The December 2014 storm left some Vermonters without power for as many as 5 days. Green Mountain Power Vice President Charlotte Ansel says the company was all hands on deck to get the lights back on and help customers.
I was out in the field during that entire storm bringing water to customers in very rural areas that had been out for a significant amount of time.
In total, Green Mountain Power spent about $16 million responding to the storm. Regulators approved the company's request late last year to bill its customers for those recovery costs, which in general is not unusual. But the costs included about $770,000 in bonuses that GMP paid to salaried employees. That raised questions for advocates and regulators who thought it seemed unfair. To be clear, we're not talking about overtime. These were optional staff bonuses that the company decided to pay. Chris Recchia is the commissioner of the Department of Public Service. The department is responsible for representing customers when it comes to utility issues in Vermont.
You can argue that, well, we should have disallowed it and not allowed this at all.
And a consultant hired by Recchia's department to review Green Mountain Power's $16 million request argued exactly that. In a report to the department, the consultant wrote, quote, "For ratepayers to have to pay bonuses to salaried employees who are expected as part of a salaried employee's job to work extra hours as needed is not appropriate." The department didn't take this advice, though. The rate package that was recommended by the department and approved by the Vermont Public Service Board means customers are paying the company back for the bonuses. To some close watchers of the utility system, that decision was emblematic of some of the problems with alternative regulation, also known as alt-reg.
Things that were previously not allowed into rates because they're not a ratepayer's responsibility, or they were costs that shouldn't have been incurred by the utility, are getting baked into the rates through alt-reg at the discretion of the department.
That's Feline Terramina, the Director of Advocacy for AARP Vermont. AARP keeps a close watch on utility rates because many of its members are on a fixed income and are especially sensitive to changing bills. But Terramina says one of the big problems with alternative regulation is that it makes it harder for the public to keep an eye on what regulators are doing.
The process is very opaque. There isn't really a lot of public opportunity for public involvement. And there really isn't even a record of what was agreed to when they finally agree to whatever rates are going to be each year.
That's because alternative regulation doesn't follow the usual process for setting rates. Normal rate setting is done through a process a lot like a court case. If a utility wants to charge customers more, they have to come before the regulators at the Public Service Board and submit evidence that their costs have changed. That means presenting stuff like receipts to the board and then giving testimony on those receipts to show how that spending is making things better for customers. And that whole process is open to the public. That doesn't happen under alternative regulation. In alt-reg, it's more like an out-of-court settlement negotiation between the Department of Public Service and Green Mountain Power. Regulators visit GMP at their offices and review finances there without making copies of what they're seeing. That stuff doesn't become public, and the public can't observe the proceedings to see what the department is challenging GMP on or how those disputes get settled. But Terramina says Recchia has a duty to show Vermonters what his department is doing for them.
There has to be some record. It's not two private people getting together and saying, we have a dispute, let's settle it. He's settling on behalf of 76% of Vermont ratepayers when he settles with GMP.
And that's what happened when the company asked to put $750,000 in bonuses into customers' rates. Recchia settled. He says he still doesn't think customers should generally have to pay bonuses like that.
Ultimately, you know, that was a one-time event where we didn't want to penalize the good work that was done in terms of restoration, but we made it clear that those type of costs should be absorbed by the company, not by ratepayers.
Terramina says that kind of decision shows that something's gone wrong with the regulatory system.
We did not create the Department of Public Service so that they could go willy-nilly using their own discretion to decide what should or should not be in rates.
Rekia says alternative regulation is an overall benefit to customers because it has all the same rules as traditional regulation with more frequent check-ins.
Kind of the main difference is the ability to look every single year at what is being done and what's being spent and question those costs and make sure that ratepayers are getting a good value for those additional investments.
Without more transparency into the process, it's impossible for the public to know why certain costs were put into rates and others weren't, and what value customers got. In an effort to be more transparent, Rekia's department included filings this year that provide more detail into what happened in the negotiations. Rekia says that information will also be in new annual reports the department is planning, which he says will show what it achieved on behalf of Vermonters over the year. For VPR News, I'm Taylor Dobbs.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Steve Zind. The job of regulating utilities and telephone companies falls to the Public Service Board, and the Public Service Department represents consumers and ratepayers before the board. That's how the system is set up. The board is quasi-judicial, which typically means deliberations bear some similarities to court proceedings. But in the case of two Vermont utilities, the regulation is a bit different. It's called alternative regulation. VPR's Taylor Dobbs has been reporting on how it works, and he joins us now to provide us with details. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Steve.
Well, to start off, you know, maybe contrast how traditional regulation works or explain how it works and what its drawbacks are.
Sure. So, I mean, to start with, utilities are regulated because they naturally have monopolies over their customers. You know, most people who have Green Mountain Power can't get their power elsewhere. And the same is often true for things like, I mean, definitely natural gas and other power companies around the state. And so the state regulates these utilities essentially to mimic what it would be like in a competitive market environment. And the driving premise of that is that utilities shouldn't be charging customers more than it costs the utility to serve those customers.
So why do we need a different form of regulation? Based on what you describe, it sounds like it ought to work.
Right. So one of the problems with traditional regulation is that there are some costs that will change pretty regularly throughout the year, things like the wholesale cost of electricity. And when those costs change, the utilities weren't allowed under traditional regulation to pass those on to customers. So if the cost of electricity for Green Mountain Power went up, they weren't allowed to charge their customers more for that electricity under traditional regulation. And so alternative regulation creates a mechanism where they can make some narrow adjustments to their rates throughout the year based on changing business costs to them.
So how does alternative regulation work in a way that might present some issues and is different from traditional?
So in a traditional rate case, it's a lot like a court proceeding, as you mentioned. Both sides present testimony. There's cross-examination. Things are, you know, sworn testimony, and it's open to the public. And it takes place in a court-like room, and a witness is on a stand, and you can watch it all play out. Alternative regulation is a lot more similar to like a settlement negotiation out of court. So both the Department of Public Service, representing the Vermont public and ratepayers, will go to the utility, and they will work out, okay, how much did it really cost you to serve customers, and how much of that is an appropriate amount to be passed through to those customers in rates. And they'll put together a rate proposal that then goes to the Public Service Board for approval, but there isn't that sort of open court process where there's testimony and cross-examination and that kind of thing.
And just to put this in context, how widespread is the use of alternative regulation outside of Vermont?
I don't know exactly how widespread it is, but it's definitely not unheard of outside Vermont. The key differences would be in those things that we were talking about earlier, and what costs are utilities allowed to pass through to customers without a rate case? Is it just things like the wholesale cost of power, or would it also be other things like weather and you know, some more factors that could make a less risky environment for utilities?
VPR's Taylor Dobbs. Thanks, Taylor.
Thank you.
You can read Taylor's coverage of the alternative regulation stories on VPR's website at vpr.net.
A VPR investigation found that Green Mountain Power customers will be billed millions of dollars over the next year for company spending that wasn't properly documented. As VPR's Taylor Dobbs reports, Vermont regulators aren't enforcing rules that were put in place to protect customers from paying for poorly documented costs.
So why does the state regulate utilities? Here's Chris Recchia, the commissioner of the Department of Public Service.
There is an understanding that ratepayers will pay the lowest possible cost they can to get quality service, reliable service, and investment by the utility in infrastructure and things over time.
And that understanding is the basis for pretty much all of utility regulation in Vermont. That regulation requires rigorous documentation. The utility needs a cost-benefit study before they make any investments. Then they need to keep track of how much they pay for everything. All of that generates a paper trail, and state regulators use that to make sure that the utility's investments provide value to customers. If that checks out, utilities can charge customers for that spending. If that paper trail is incomplete, regulators don't have the information they need to decide if that spending is doing anything for customers. Reports from a consultant working for Recchia's department have shown that since at least 2011, Green Mountain Power has regularly failed to provide proper documentation of its spending.
This has been a perennial problem long before my time and for multiple utilities. And there was a confusion in the board orders about what was necessary to adequately document an expense.
Those problems show up in annual reports about Green Mountain Power's rates for the past 5 years. But Green Mountain Power uses a different rate-setting process than other power companies. It's called alternative regulation, also known as alt-reg. It gives Recchia's department the power to negotiate with GMP to come up with rate proposals that both sides like so they don't have to fight it out in front of regulators. And through that process, the Department of Public Service was allowing Green Mountain Power to charge customers for spending with an incomplete paper trail. The issues were enough of a problem that in 2014, the department and Green Mountain Power agreed on a new rule. It's called Attachment 7.
That resulted in, through alt-reg, a negotiation on that Attachment 7 to say, look, we're done kind of debating what the terms are. We're going to clearly lay them out and you need to do them.
Over the past 2 years, the utility has gotten better about documenting its spending, but it still falls short in some areas. For example, in the rates regulators approved this fall, customers will start paying for 52 software projects totaling more than $13 million. The state's consultant, working for a company named Larkin & Associates, wrote this about the projects in his report. Quote, "The document where the explanations were provided is supposed to be a financial analysis, and after reviewing all 52 projects, Larkin is of the opinion no financial analysis were provided." Green Mountain Power Vice President and General Counsel Charlotte Ansel says the projects were properly documented.
All of our projects have cost justifications that are done for them, and the report reflects that the justifications were even provided to the department's independent expert on June 1st, so within the timeline, and absolutely it is something that we look at always on a going forward basis and as we're planning what investments we're going to make in the next year.
But the state's consultant said that under this rule set up in 2014, all 52 projects could be removed from rates for lack of proper documentation. Instead, customers are paying for all of them. To Recchia, that's the right call, even if the company didn't follow the rules.
Here's why it's not just a hard line in the sand, because we have seen vast improvement in the last year and a half on the documentation, but it's not anywhere near as good as it needs to be.
Attachment 7, that rule from 2014, says Green Mountain Power should be paying for those failures out of its bottom line. But as a result of the annual negotiations under alternative regulation, customers are paying instead. Ansel from GMP says that's fair because even though the people enforcing the rules don't think the utility is doing a good enough job, company officials believe they're doing their due diligence.
To the extent that we may view differently the specific metrics by which financial analyses are done, we're open to input from our regulators, from the department's independent consultant, and we keep continuing to work those in, but there were cost justifications for all of those projects.
Attachment 7 was designed specifically to resolve any questions about what costs are included in rates. In practice, disagreements remain. And the past 5 years of records show that when there are disagreements, customers pay. For VPR News, I'm Taylor Dobbs.